Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and today we're going to be, once again, talking about the Constitution, which is so vitally important, and the trouble is that most of our politicians don't believe in the Constitution. Oh, they swear an oath to uphold it, of course. They swear the oath because they have to. But, of course, then they immediately violate that oath because they don't believe in God, and because we've taken God out of our prayer, out of our schools, and any mention of Christianity out of our schools, and we indoctrinate our youth in evolution. No, and if evolution is true, then the Bible is a lie, quite simply. And that's the reason why they took God in prayer and the Bible out of our schools, and why they're teaching evolution, because we're involved in a spiritual battle. And there are those who hate Christianity because Christianity represents freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Well, we have a constitution. It is still the law of the land. And, of course, it has not been amended by passage of time, or it has not evolved. If you want to change the constitution, there are very easy ways to do that. All you have to do is follow what the constitution says. It can be amended as society changes. But, of course, these people don't want to amend the Constitution. They want to change it because they want a dictatorship. There really are people who want a dictatorship in America. They feel that they have the right to rule. In fact, as David Rockefeller told a friend of mine, Congressman Dannemeyer, you know, some men are born to rule, but most men are born to be ruled. And that's what this is really all about. There is a financial elite. There is an elite who control our society. And if you haven't read David Rockefeller's memoirs, we do carry that because we want you to read what he says about, you know, some people say that, hey, I and my family are part of a cabal that's interested in eroding and destroying the sovereignty of our nation. And, you know, if that's and creating a one world order. And if that's what the charge is, I stand guilty. I am a proud internationalist. That's what David Rockefeller is. That's why his daughters are such good friends of Fidel Castro, and why Fidel comes up to check in with the chief. Believe me, nothing as it appears to be. But you need to read David Rockefeller's memoirs. We carry it through Radio Liberty, and you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. You need the documentation to understand what this is really about. And what's going on? There is an elite who want to control over you, and they intend to destroy this nation and merge us into a one-world government. When you understand that, why you can begin to understand why we have a financial crisis, an engineered financial crisis in America today. But you don't want to hear me talk. You want to hear Pastor David Whitney, who's an expert on the Constitution, who's our regular guest here. And we're going to be talking about that very precious document, which is the foundation of our freedom, which was written by godly people based upon godly principles, and the people who hate God hate the Constitution. And that's why it's not taught in our schools. That's why it's not taught in our law schools. That is why, excuse me, neither Obama and or no John McCain talked about the importance of the Constitution and preserving limited centralized government. David Whitney, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a privilege to be on your show and to share these truths because, as you say, most people have no awareness of really what the Constitution says. It's not taught anywhere in any systematic way, in any education system, including, most importantly, it's not taught in law school. Most lawyers never learn anything about the Constitution. They learn how to evade it, how to violate it, how to twist it around, but not what the true meaning of our Constitution is. And part of the challenge we have is that so many people have a worldview that is an understanding of reality that is different, far different from that of our founders, that they can misread the words of the Constitution and the Declaration and the Bill of Rights. They see a word there and they twist it around with their own frame of reference. And any time, as an honest historian, you want to understand what it is a person in the past has said, you need to do the diligence of going back and understanding the words as they meant them to be understood. In other words, you need to step into their shoes, into what we call their worldview, their understanding of reality, to understand what they meant by the words that they put on the page. Otherwise, you are very liable to be misinterpreting what it is they said. Well, we talked before in a previous segment about some of that element of worldview that was influenced by John Locke and William Blackstone and Baron Montesquieu. And it speaks about natural rights that every human being has as a creature, as one created by God. That our rights come from God as creatures created by God. We are created in the image of God, and therefore we possess human dignity, a dignity and a series of rights that are far above those of animals. Today, people are elevating animals even above human beings, which is a completely tyrannical worldview that will result in the death of millions upon millions of human beings. But all of these rights that we have given to us by God are taught to us by God's commandments. Often those commandments are put in the negative. Thou shalt not, for example, thou shalt not murder, means that you have a right to life. No one has a just way to take your life except as God defines it in specific capital crimes. So the right to life for every human being, it is, again, the purpose of government to secure and protect our God-given right to life, that is based upon the commandment of God, our Creator. And these are what natural rights are all about. They existed prior to any government coming into being. In fact, the only purpose that God ordained governments was to protect those God-given rights. First, the right to life, which is the most important one, because if you don't have that right secured, you can never enjoy any of your other God-given rights, such as the right to liberty and the right to be free to pursue that which you are called to do in life and not to be bound as a slave and so on. And many people today, again, misunderstand what our founders meant by liberty. They didn't mean license, what libertine type of idea of do whatever you please. So you want to rob a store, go ahead and rob a store. Or you kill somebody, go ahead and kill somebody. Do whatever you please. That is not liberty. That's anarchy, actually. And our founders decried that kind of interpretation of the idea of freedom. No, liberty is the ability and freedom to do the right thing, that is to obey God's law. That's what true liberty is. And when the greater number of people in a society that are obeying God's law, the greater degree of liberty exists in society. And as Scripture says, that God has ordained government, for example, in Romans 13, to punish the evildoers. And that's the only way that there will be liberty in the land.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I
I look and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, David Whitney, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. David, pick up the story.
Well, so not only do we have a God-given natural right to life and to liberty, we also have a natural right, God-given right to property. And this, of course, was ensconced in the phrase in the Declaration, the pursuit of happiness, which actually includes not only the ownership of property, but also includes the whole realm of economic freedom, that is, the freedom to choose the job and work at the job that you choose, to keep the fruit of your labors. All of these things with economic freedom are connected with that phrase, the pursuit of happiness. And you see, property was not just a means of material gain in the worldview of our founders. Property was viewed as a means of productivity. So you get a brand new computer, it may make you far more productive in your business than it would if you worked with the old clunker that you had. And so property really is a means of productivity to be more effective and efficient, and therefore to be able to produce more of what it is that God's called you on this earth to do. And property is also viewed as an extension of the person. It is something that enables you to accomplish the giftedness and, again, the calling that God has given you in this world. So all of these things are related together, and they are essential if we are going to function as individuals that God created us to be in this world. So civil government really is part of protecting us so that we can do what God has called us to do in this world. If you don't have your right to life protected, if you have gangs of thugs running up and down the street, murdering anybody they choose, you're going to spend an enormous part of your life simply protecting your life from murderers and protecting that of your family. But if you have an effective police force that does what it is ordained to do, not determine that you got your seatbelt fastened, but actually prevent murderers from doing their wicked deeds, then you're going to be freed up to be able to do that which God has called you to do. And likewise it is with the right to liberty and the right to property. Now, in addition to natural rights, founding fathers also understood that equality is essential. All men are created equal because we're created in God's image. There is a sense in which no human being is above another. Talk about this much later, but that's one of the reasons why that no one was permitted to accept titles of nobility, nor was anyone permitted to grant titles of nobility in our country. And this is based on the biblical concept that God is no respecter of persons. Galatians 3:28 speaks of the fact that there's neither male nor female, free nor bond, slave, that all men are equal before the law. Now, it's been misinterpreted in our day, equality has been misinterpreted to say everyone must be equal in circumstances, i.e. everybody must be given the exact same education, everybody must be given the exact same salary, and they must live in the exact same house, etc. That's ridiculous. That's not at all what equality is about biblically. It's not an equality of giftedness. God doesn't give the same set of gifts to every individual. Just read Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. God gives a variety of different gifts to different people. So it's not giftedness, ability. It's not even financial circumstances. It's not even the opportunities that you have from what family you're born into and so on. No, equality is equality before the law, that there is no partiality in judging you when you stand before the law, that there's no favoritism to one person because of his political connections when he stands before the law, the bar, or another person disfavored because he doesn't have those same political connections. And, oh, this day and age, we see so much of that most Americans know that the judicial system is not going to give them a fair shake. And they know that if they go into the a judicial process, they're likely to lose their shirt more than ever have justice done on their behalf. That's because this principle of equality has been abandoned on the true level of ground, how things are functioning, rather than just in the rhetoric. And the Old Testament law prohibited judges from showing partiality. It prohibited judges from accepting bribes. And when you look at what the Old Testament prophets condemned again and again and again from one end of the Old Testament to the other, they condemned judges for doing exactly this, for showing partiality, for accepting bribes. And sometimes in our day, bribes are indirect, you know, campaign contributions for the reelection of a judge or things of that nature. Many of the bribes may not be directly putting money in the hand of the judge, but other things by which the judge's favor is gained and impartiality is lost in the courtroom. So not only do we have natural rights as an essential component of their worldview and equality, but thirdly, this idea that John Locke clearly spoke of in his theory of social contract, that government is always by consent of the governed. That is, it is we the people who consent to have those rulers who rule over us. They just don't, by force of guns or police or prisons or whatever, assert their power over us. Government is always by consent of the governed. In the Old Testament, this is clearly spelled out. You have Gideon in Judges chapter 8. The people made Gideon wanted to make Gideon their king in chapter 9 of Judges. Abimelech was made king by the people. And then we go on down to the first king of all of Israel. Saul was made king by the people, and so was David and Solomon, and on down the list goes. And the principle is very clear when you see the exception to that. In other words, when the people chose not to have a certain individual as king, even though he was slated to be king, this is Solomon's son Rehoboam, and 2 Chronicles chapter 10 talks about this, and it's very interesting that Rehoboam, because he was the son of Solomon, and Solomon had anointed him basically to be the king in his stead, so when Solomon died, Rehoboam was going to take power, and the people of Israel gathered together for a coronation ceremony. But before the ceremony, the people of Israel, in 2 Chronicles 10, said to King Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you." They're saying the taxation level and the demand for work forces was far too great from your father Solomon. If you will simply lessen that load, we would be glad to be your servants. We would be glad to be we would consent to be part of your government. Well, the king, being a unwise man, not listening to wise counsel, did the exact opposite. He told them he was going to raise the tax burden on them. He's going to make it more harsh for them. And the people said, "What have we to do with David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." That is, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin were the only two tribes that stayed loyal to the lineage of David under King Rehoboam. The 10 northern tribes formed a separate nation. They seceded from the kingdom of David, and they formed what was known later as Israel, the 10 tribes to the north. Well, Rehoboam thought, "Oh, I don't care what these people say. I'm going to force my will upon them. I'm going to tax them anyway." So he sent his tax collector up there to the northern tribes, and they stoned the tax collector to death. And then Rehoboam got really mad. He gathered up an army ready to go to war and forced these people into submission. And a prophet from God came to him and said, "Don't do that. You do not have the right to do that. This thing is of me." That is the fact that these people have separated. They say, we are not consenting to be under your government, was from God, and God approved of it. And that Rehoboam ultimately let the 10 tribes go, and he didn't go to war against them. Government is by the consent of the governed. Even Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10. He said to his disciples, those who seem, among the Gentiles, those who seem to be accounted rule over them. And it's a very interesting phrase there. The idea is that even among pagans, even among, in his day, the Roman Empire, where the tyrannical Caesar ruled over vast stretches of people, it was by consent of the governed. If the people said, no, we don't consent to be under Caesar anymore, they're going to have a war on their hand, no doubt. But they had a God-given right to separate themselves from that government that they did not choose to consent to any longer. And the reason for this is very clear in Scripture. God is the source of all authority. Any authority that a human being has in civil government is only granted to them by God. Romans 13 speaks of this. Daniel 2 speaks of this. God raises up kings and tears down kings. And God has delegated authority to civil government specifically through the people. We have God-given rights. They're given to us by God. And we together as a community of people covenant together and form a civil government that we give powers, limited, delegated, enumerated powers, very specific powers, based upon our God-given right. So we have a God-given right to life. We have a God-given right to protect our life in the community. We have a God-given right to get our neighbors together if there's gangs roving through our community and protect and defend ourselves and our families. And we have the right to hire a person who would be doing that for us rather than us being out there in the middle of the night protecting ourselves.
Well, you know, I think it's so important that people understand that the enemy uses Romans 13 to subjugate the people. This is what they did in Hitler's Germany. If you haven't read Erwin Lutzer's wonderful book, Hitler's Cross, We Carry It. Why? Because we want you to understand they're doing it in America and using religion, Romans 13, just like they did in Hitler's Germany. And our ministers many times are told by government officials to get the people to believe in Romans 13. But what did Romans 13 say? Why, the leaders of government were to be subject to God, and then we were to be subject to them. What happens when our leaders of government are not subject to God? And that's exactly the situation we have today. And people have to understand, we should be loyal to our government, but our government is based upon the Constitution. God gave us a Constitution and gave us freedom, and of course our leaders do not believe in that. They have a different agenda, and we have a right to object to that. Not by force. What we need to do is educate every American about our God-given right to freedom, that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. But when they talk about Romans 13, oh, we're ready to do whatever our government says, they want to get involved with a war, kill a million Iraqis, that's all right. God put them in power, not the God that I worship or the God that I hope that the people in the audience worship. Go right ahead, Steve.
That's exactly right. So we the people need to not consent to a government that would violate our God-given rights or violate the God-given rights of other people. We need to protest against such a government, even as our founders did when they gathered for the First Continental Congress in 1774. They gave a list of remonstrances, a list of grievances. Here's what King George III is doing in violation of God's law. He needs to repent, is basically what they were communicating to King George III. Of course, he didn't repent. He just decided to start slinging bullets at them and that sort of thing. Well, if government is by consent of the governed, we need to recognize the next principle our founders clearly spelled out, that all men are sinners. All men are violators of God's law. Man is, in his own human nature, sinful, self-interested. He is corruptible. Consider what James Madison said in Federalist Paper 51. If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it, that is the government, to control itself. There's the big difficulty. You have to have both. If you don't, you either have anarchy, where people and are violating the law of God individually, or the second situation where you have people obeying what's supposedly law, then, but the government itself not obeying God's law, you have tyranny. Really, the only difference between anarchy and tyranny is this. In anarchy, we have individuals violating God's law. In tyranny, we have the government violating God's law. And both situations are destructive of any true liberty of the individual people. And so our founders knew that you cannot trust any human being with unlimited power. Alexander Hamilton said this, "Till the millennium comes, in spite of all of our boasted light and purification, hypocrisy and treachery will continue to be the most successful commodities in the political market." He knew the heart of people. He knew that the people would be corrupt, and there was no way that you should ever trust any individual human being with unlimited power. Because if you were going to do that, you could be certain that that person would abuse their power and abuse the God-given rights of other human beings. Therefore, government itself was designed by God, just as Romans 13 says, to curb the sinful nature of human beings, not their heart. Again, government is only controlling or punishing behavior, not thoughts, not attitudes, but the behavior of individuals.
We're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney right here in America.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Onig Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is David Rhett Whitney, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. David, let's go ahead and get your telephone number out, your website, so people can learn how they can get one of your kits and, and of course go ahead and start teaching not only themselves but their friends and relatives and people in their church about our Constitution. Because if the people of America don't understand our Constitution, how can we possibly preserve our liberty? Go right ahead, David.
That's exactly right, and that's the first step. I mean, many people wringing their hands say, this seems impossible. Well, no, it's not. It takes individual Americans saying, I'm going to train myself, then my family, a circle of friends. I'm going to train the people at my church to understand this view, our founders' view of law and government, give them a working knowledge of the Constitution, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights, such that they can function as the check against the tyrannical government. Our founders never put into force anything but we the people who would be a check against the government abusing its power. And that's why we need to understand these documents. If we don't, we cannot stop the tyranny, and we cannot take our country back. And so the host kit's designed to do that in a very simple turnkey method. You don't really need any specific training. Everything you have is there. Everything you need is there with the in the host kit, with the lectures by Professor John Eismo and two lectures by David Barton, a student manual, a host directions for you conducting the class, everything you need in DVD format. We also have it in VHS if people need that, want to order that. They can call us toll-free to make that order, and the toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number, again, for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. Or if they prefer to order on the web, our web store is at iotconline.com. That's Institute on the Constitution's website, iotconline.com. And right there at the top of the first page when you open the web, there's a button, Order a Host Kit. You can go right there. And we now offer a new feature that I know some people may not be able to handle the price of our host kit. It's $149 plus shipping. But there is a new feature. You can take the course online. And there's a button right next to Order the Host Kit, online course. And you sign up for the online course. It's $30 ultimately when you log in and you watch the lectures, take the test, do everything there online. And by the way, we decided to offer a special that if you spend that $30 and then you decide, you know, I really do want to purchase a host kit after all, then we will apply that $30 you paid for the online course. We'll apply it to the price of purchasing a host kit. So that's the, in addition to that, of course, our web store has a bunch of other materials, DVDs and CDs and books that really help you understand what our founders meant by what they said in those founding documents and how it applies in many situations today. And if Americans were to take this simple step and make it a commitment in the new year, I know it's very busy for many people here in December, but they say, hey, somebody wants to buy me a Christmas present, buy me a host kit. Because in the new year, I'm going to conduct a class, I'm going to gather a group of friends at church or even in my own home, and I'm going to take them through 12 weeks of educating Americans. We could begin to roll, if we see this across the country, we could begin to roll back the tyrannical government. We could stop the onslaught that we can expect from Obama and his cronies that are about to take power or already begun to take power. And we could roll back the unconstitutional things that have been done by George Bush, and on the list goes. But it takes educated citizens who know what the truth is to begin that process. So we encourage all of your listeners to get a host kit and start the process of educating themselves and then a wider and wider circle of people as it goes forward. Well, the sinfulness of human beings means that government's necessary to keep sinful human beings from acting in sinful ways, but it also means that the government itself must, having this individuals in the government having that same fallen sinful human nature, they themselves need to have a check upon them that prevents them from becoming corrupt. As Lord Acton said in his famous statement, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So the problem and the issue that our founders faced at the Constitutional Convention was how to give government enough power to govern effectively, but to limit that power so that government does not become tyrannical and corrupt. And that is the tendency of all human governments. They'll become tyrannical and corrupt given the fallen nature of mankind. That was the key question, the key problem that our founders wrestled with. They wrestled with it informing the Articles of Confederation, which was right after they ratified or signed the Declaration. They found that in some ways that that was not effectively working for the good of all of the states and the country as a whole. And so they began to craft a constitution, and they wrestled with that same problem when they put the constitution together. And the answer they came up with, it's really brilliant. I mean, it's simple. It's biblical in all of its ideas, but it's brilliant. We call it the Founders' Five-Fold Formula. There's five things that the founders designed in our system of government to prevent tyrannical and corrupt government from developing. The first is limited delegated powers. Limited delegated powers. And this is very important to understand, because in our day, most people in Washington, D.C. think there is no limit upon their power, with a few notable exceptions, but most of them think they can do whatever they please. And this is not just the elected officials, this is the bureaucrats. I don't know what bean-headed bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. decided exactly how much water you could flush down your toilet. But some idiot in Washington said, this is all the water you're going to be able to flush down your toilet, and I determine as a tyrant, I'm going to tell every American, you cannot flush any more water than this down your toilet. It's like, well, who gave him the power to do that? The answer is, nobody gave him the power to do that. Our founders said, there's only limited delegated powers. That is, there's a very specific list, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution being the most significant part of that list. There's also limits that are placed on state governments in Article 6 and so on, or Article 5. But the idea is that government only has those specific powers that we grant to it. If we don't grant our government the power to regulate our seatbelt wearing, whether we wear a seatbelt or don't wear a seatbelt, they cannot assume that they have that power. They can only have powers that we, the people, grant to them in order to secure our God-given rights. So, oh my goodness, the list of things that Washington, D.C. does is endless, nearly, of the things they do that are outside the limits that the Constitution places upon them. Limited, delegated, enumerated powers is something that most Washingtonians have completely forgot about, and they're getting away with violating the law because Americans don't know those limits that our Constitution placed upon them. In fact, if you were to really characterize what our Constitution does, is it limits the government. It says these are the specific things it can do. Here are the boundaries. If you think of it as perhaps a football field, here's the end zone at both ends of the field. Here's the sidelines. Here's the area within which our government can, or federal government and state government is a different issue with the state constitution, but according to the Constitution, it sets these boundaries. And these are the only things it can do. Let me just give an illustration to help people think about it. The Department of Education, brought in by Carter, completely unconstitutional. Nowhere in Article 1, Section 8, is there any permission given for the federal government to spend even one penny on anybody's education at all. So
we're out of time. We'll be back here in just a moment with the last segment of our program right here at the American Future.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get involved. I mean, don't wait for somebody else to do it. It is only we, the people, who are going to take America back. If there are not enough people who care about America, then freedom, as we know it, will soon become simply a remembrance of things past, and our children will live under abject slavery, wondering why we didn't do something to preserve our freedom. Our Constitution is still the law of the land. The lawbreakers are in Washington, D.C., and we need to educate the public. And when the public understands what's gone on, and believe me, they're going to understand very, very soon as we begin to see the destruction of the value of our currency, an intentional effort to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and merge us into the new world financial order that is already well underway. But go right ahead with the story, David.
Yes, well, we were talking about the founders' fivefold formula to keep the government from becoming tyrannical and corrupt. The first is limited delegated powers. Only those powers we give to the government does it have the power to work upon. And whenever government steps outside those powers, it's the duty of the people to object and to, if the people will not repent in office, to throw them out of office, because they're lawbreakers, violating the Constitution, violating our agreement with them. So that's the first, limited delegated powers. The second is the vertical division of powers. This is the three branches of government that most people think of when they think of checks and balances. Three branches, legislative, executive, and judiciary, supposed to be equal branches. And again, the problem is today that the judiciary has become supreme over the other branches as its opinions, and by the way, that's all the Supreme Court can issue, opinions that govern only one case, the case before them, have no bearing on any other case whatsoever. That's the principle of judicial restraint and so forth that was supposed to be part of our system that has been ignored. And really, it's all three branches of government that have colluded together to violate the Constitution. And they have to be brought to terms. And I would argue that there's really a fourth branch of government designed by our founders, the fully informed jury, that stands as a check against all those three branches of government. If all three branches of government are going to violate the law, the jury says, no, 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 you're not going to get away with that. You're not going to prosecute individuals based upon your corrupt and tyrannical laws and violations of the law. We're going to stop you right there in the courtroom. So those vertical divisions of power are very important. Now, in addition to those vertical divisions, most people have never heard of the horizontal separation of powers that our founders designed a system of government with four levels of government: the federal level, the state level, the county level, and then the local level, which might be a town or a township, depending on how the local levels are set up in different municipalities. But the idea is that each of these four levels serves as a check and balance against the other. Particularly, the states were to be a check against the power of the federal government. They were to keep the federal government within the boundaries of that football field, within the end zone and the sidelines. Say, this is all you can do, federal government, nothing more. And particularly, the design was that the senators, appointed by the state legislature of each of the individual states, was to keep the federal government in check in every way, shape, and form. And until the 17th Amendment, which was probably not legally ratified anyway, but it's acted as if it is ratified now, senators are elected by the highest bidder, and they're prostitutes. They are prostitutes. They will do the will of the highest bidder that buys them off. And the result is that states no longer have that check against the power. And I believe, as Zell Miller said, one of the best things that could happen is the repeal of the 17th Amendment and senators were appointed again by state legislatures. For then, the state would truly have an ability to check the power of the federal government from becoming tyrannical and way beyond its means. And again, the design of our founders was that at the lowest level possible, the level of government closest to the people should be the level of government that has the greatest influence in their life, because it's the level of government they themselves would have the greatest influence over. You think your congressman or your senator going to pay much attention to one individual in their state? No. Maybe 100 individuals they might, or if there's 1,000 or 10,000 individuals, then they got to wake up and pay attention. But you as one individual can have a far greater impact on your local level of government than you can on the federal government. So our founders wanted very limited role that the federal government played in people's lives. In fact, the first 150 years or so of our country's existence since Declaration of Independence, the federal government was almost unknown to the individual. They would never encounter a federal agent coming to their place of business or snooping into their private... No, federal agents, they would never see such a person. They'd only encounter the federal government if they actually traveled down to Washington, D.C. It had almost nothing to do with their life at all. And that was by design of our founders.
And, in those days, why the FBI didn't, for instance, go into a governor's office and place bugs all over it and monitor his telephone calls and really target a governor. Now, I'm sure the governor of Illinois probably is dishonest, but then aren't most of our state governors dishonest in one way or another? But the day after the governor of Illinois came out against Bank of America and what they were doing, why he was indicted by the FBI. Does anybody really believe that there was no relationship? I mean, they targeted Governor Spitzer of New York, found he was dealing with a prostitute. Why? Because he went after the FBI, and this was payback time. They can do that to anybody, ladies and gentlemen, because, of course, we were never to have a federal police force. We have a federal police force, and who's going to monitor the federal police force and keep them honest? No one.
Yeah.
Because anybody's afraid to speak out today, because they could be watching you, too. We should take care of our corrupt local governors at the local level, not at the federal level, because there's nobody monitoring the federal police. Go right ahead.
That's exactly right, which is, again, why that horizontal separation of powers was so important, that the other three levels of government would have a check against the federal government and check their power. And this checks and balances is really the fourth principle of their fivefold formula, that each of the vertical divisions of power, each of the horizontal separations of power, would be a check and balance against the other, that they would have the right of interposition. That is, if the federal government is violating the Constitution, which it is every day. Now, if it's violating the Constitution and violating the rights of the individual citizen, it is the duty of the other three levels of government to step in against the federal government and say, no, Mr. FBI, no, Mr. Whoever, you are not going to violate the rights of our individual citizens. In fact, most people don't know the most powerful individual in any locality is the sheriff, because he's voted in by the people.
Hey, we're out of time, David. God bless. We'll talk to you later.
God bless, Dr. Sam. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We're Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Dan back here at the American Freedom Network, and this is the time when I want to mention that my ministry, as you know, is certainly primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there and you've never joined the Radio Liberty Family Supporters, you'd like to help us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty Family of Supporters and get our four best CDs or tapes of the month, as well as our monthly newsletter, or you can simply subscribe to the newsletter, or if you'd like to get a free catalog, and of course we carry all sorts of fascinating books and videos and four tape sets and other items that you need, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. To understand our form of government, you really need to have something called the Freedom Documents. They were put together by our good friend Chuck Baldwin, who ran for the presidency under the Constitution Party. And these are all of the documents, from the Mayflower Compact right up through Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, but important documents that will help you better to understand how our nation was made and why it was made as it was. And then, of course, you need, of course, to get to a wonderful book by John Stormer, The Trade by the Bench, going into the background of how the Supreme Court has eroded the Constitution, what it's sworn to uphold, and of course he doesn't explain why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools, and that's why my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is so vitally important. Brotherhood of Darkness tells you the background of the Supreme Court that took God and prayer out of our schools, and they were simply controlled by members of a secret society dedicated to the destruction of the structure of our government as such, and merging us into this world order. Why? Because these men who had sworn an oath to the great architect of the universe, and that is the God that the Masons worship, and unfortunately that is not the God of the Bible. And people will tell you, there is only one God. No, ladies and gentlemen, there are many gods, but there certainly is. Lucifer is considered by many to be the true God. That is the Gnostic belief, and Masonry is based upon Gnosticism. In fact, so many of the modern-day secret societies and covert organizations are based upon the Gnostic belief that Lucifer is the true God. And until people understand that, we're carrying a wonderful new book. It's called Kingdom of the Occult. Kingdom of the Occult by Walter Martin's daughter, Jill Martin Riche. And we interviewed her last night. If you'd like to hear our interview, it's up on our website at radioliberty.com. It's the 9 o'clock interview, but an excellent interview. We recommend it to you. Our telephone number, again, is 1-800-544-8927. But you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it. You need, of course, to get John Stormer's book, Betrayed by the Bench, Foundations of Our Freedom, the 50 Fundamental Documents of Our Society. And I believe Jill Reese's book, it's actually, over 700 pages. It's like an encyclopedia. But it takes you into the background of Satanism. It's based upon Walter Martin's writings and lectures, and he was the Bible answer man for many years. He was the real Bible answer man. Of course, solidly grounded in the scriptures, who wrote a book called Kingdom of the Cults many years ago, but this is Kingdom of the Occult. And, of course, it tells you all about Satanism. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people in the world today who believe that Satan is the true God. Many of them are working at the highest levels of our government today. As the president said, we all worship the same God. All religions do. Oh, God. Well, until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
People who don't suffer from back pain have no idea how excruciatingly agonizing it can be. Sometimes there's no comfortable position. You can't stand, you can't sit, even lying down.